You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 19 February. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Jimmy Moyaha, Grindrod update, very, very strong. A middling Sibanye Stillwater. I mean, a lot of moving parts there. I'm interested there further write-downs on their lithium project as prices go against them. Kobus Lutz, CEO of Pan African Resources, records everywhere from their set of results. So their all-in sustain costs, well above guidance. And then Dr. Andrew Golding, he's from PAM Golding Property. Next week's budget, possible impact on home prices. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb calls for higher tax-free savings limit ahead of budget. Old Mutual wants ceiling raised to $40,000 a year and the lifetime limit up to $600,000. Business Day, retail advances 3.7% in 2025, although monthly momentum stalls. Seasonally adjusted data for December suggests consumer demand remains uneven. Morning markets, the US was green, S&P just higher, little over 0.5% higher, Nasdaq is 0.8% higher. The East is green where it's open, Sydney's up 0.4%, Tokyo up 0.8%, Hong Kong closed, so also no 10 cent. Commodities, all green, gold futures 4,996, Brent 70.56, platinum 2,091, palladium 1,741. The rand is 16.04, Bitcoin is 66,800, and top 40 opening call, green open 350 points or 0.3% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Jimmy Moyaha. Jimmy, appreciate the early morning time. Some results coming through, but lots of updates coming. And the one that really struck me yesterday was Grindrod. A strong update, trading update coming from Grindrod. And frankly, looking very well positioned with their assets in to a degree Richards Bay, but mostly Maputo.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Grindrod's quite an interesting update. You're very right. I mean, we'll get more details around it on the 6th of March, but from the perspective of what we know about the business and everything that we've seen, I mean, they did trim down some of their offshore businesses, selling off some of their fuel businesses. Mm-hmm. The offshore businesses have really come to the party from an exchange rate perspective. It's nice to be able to benefit from some currency or exchange rate fluctuations. It's not often that you see that happen to the scale that Grindrod has seen it happen. But the main thing for that business is being able to sell off those assets and realizing those profits into the business. It's made them leaner. It's allowed them to refocus on some of their core business units and actually exit some things that have been capital intensive for them for the longest time. So for them, I think, and you're seeing that as well with other companies as well, right? So mining companies as well, getting rid of non-core metals that they believe they don't want to be focused on. Other companies getting rid of non-core assets. For Grindrod as well, this strategic let go of their offshore assets, that clearly paying off for them. The question then becomes now is where does the business then focus to going forward? You mentioned, of course, that they've got that Richards Bay operation. They've got their Maputo operations as well. They are a leaner business at this point. But if we are now going to look at what the next financial year looks like, they've got the cash, they've got the opportunities to go into other ventures. Do they use the cash into new ventures? Do they go into their existing ventures? That then starts to become the secondary question around, okay, a stellar year for you, but what happens next? And I guess we'll find out on the 6th of March when we see the numbers in a bit more detail. They might give us an indication as to where Grindrod might be focusing their energies.
Yeah, that's a fair point. We get a lot more color at those results. Sibanye Stillwater, a trading update, and their results coming out tomorrow. Not a last minute, but a late one. I mean, a lot of moving parts. I mean, what stands out, I mean, gold production was down, but they're still doing, 480-odd thousand ounces, which is I mean, it's a lot more than, for example, Pan African. A lot of write-downs, including their lithium project, which is pricing, and you know, it tells me that long-term planning and mining is hard. Your thoughts on Sibanye? They've got the two commodities everyone loves right now, PGMs and gold.
I still think Sibanye, from a diversified miner perspective, has what many other mining companies don't have, and that is the benefit of being able to leverage off of more than one metal, right? Mm-hmm. So that still counts in their favor. Yes, we're going to expect a loss for the year in terms of loss per share. That's largely due to the fact that we're dealing with 14 billion rands worth of write-downs in one single year. So that has to have an impact on the financials at some point. But to your point, Sai, around what it is that they are focusing on, yes, their gold production might be down. But remember, we just got an update yesterday from DRD Gold on their interim results. Mm. Their revenues were up 30-odd%. And Sibanye Stillwater is the majority shareholder in DRD Gold as well. So with that, that'll translate very mildly into increased earnings from their perspective as the parent company there. But if we look at Sibanye's overall positioning, the lithium impairment, that's largely due to how we're seeing markets like the lithium market at the moment. Remember, there was a time where we all went in as an entire world on EVs and alternative metals, and we're still looking at some of those. Lithium might not be as popular at the moment, but it's not to say then that asset itself will not have value at some point in life. Sibanye might be looking at it strategically to say, when we had valued it at the previous valuation, that was on the assumption of where the lithium price was and where the market was at that time. And that market changed quite quickly. I mean, to be fair, if we look at the sudden turnaround from the likes of Europe around the fact that we're not going to have all electric vehicles by 2030 or 2035, and now all of the manufacturers themselves are saying, okay, well, we're going back to building hybrids, we're going back to building ICE engines as well. That kind of sharp turnaround, unfortunately, as a miner, you're on the receiving end of that, because that decision doesn't really sit with you to make. Now, from a mining perspective, as you said, Sai, it is a long-term game. If they're looking at that market and saying, hang on, there might be some downside at the moment, it is the prudent approach from an accounting perspective to impair the asset and value it down. You can always reverse that impairment should the condition change in the future. But for now, the prudent accounting measure is to impair where you need to. And if the gold price remains as strong as it does, there's always the possibility that you're seeing that some of these impairments might be offset by some other performances. But we'll see those numbers in greater detail tomorrow. I think the loss per share still being below, or expected to be below, 2 rand a share is quite telling of how Sibanye has been able to manage the situation. And of course, this is the first set of numbers we're going to get with the new chief executive in charge. We know, of course, Neil Froneman has officially stepped away from the business. So we'll see what that guidance kind of says about where that business goes to from here.
Yeah, and there is a webcast tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. You can find it on their website. We'll leave it there. Jimmy Moyaha, appreciate the early morning time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Kobus Lutz, CEO of Pan African Resources. Results for 6 months ending December: revenue up 157%, HEPS 511.7% higher, and a maiden interim dividend of 12 South African cents. Kobus, appreciate the time. Staggering numbers there, and we'll delve into some of those. But let's touch on first the all-in sustaining costs. That under pressure, almost $200 above the top end of the range. What's driving the costs higher?
You know, Simon, I wouldn't say that the costs are under pressure. The reasons for the overshoot's quite well explained in that the rand's stronger.
Yeah.
You know, can't do much about that. The share price has increased massively. So the staff, sort of from an option perspective, there needs to be some accruals. And then sort of we were buying in some third-party material sort of at a higher cost, but still some great margins, plus royalties that were higher as a result of the gold price. 90% of our production came in at $1,700. Yeah. So the only Only bit of the portfolio that came in above that really was Sheba Consort at Barberton. But, you know, compare that to the international sector, $1,700 or $1,800 is very competitive. It's very much on par with the international average.
Yeah, and as you say, the very vast majority coming in at $1,700. Let's move to the good news. I mean, gold has been in an absolute tear. What was the average price you received during the period?
So I'm at about $3,800. So it's still quite a bit less than the current spot. So, you know, that coupled with obviously forecast increased production, further increased production in H2 should position us very nicely for the second half and then obviously also for full year results.
So here's the question, which I probably know the answer to. And I know you just closed your hedge book a year ago. I mean, gold is, let's call it $5,000. It's there or there's about. Any thoughts of hedging at current levels, or you're happy to, I was going to say take the risk, but I don't know how much risk there is at a 5,000 gold price.
Simon, it's a good question, and it's very sort of, if one looks at the numbers in terms of hedging and the cash flows that you lock in, it's incredibly attractive. But, you know, that being said, the feedback from most of our shareholders that they buy Pan-African to be exposed to the gold price and to be exposed to production growth that we've been delivering. And as you say, I mean, at the end of this month, we have no more debt. We are unhedged. So we're going to, if all things being equal, we should end the financial year with a really healthy cash balance. And that's despite, obviously, a lot of additional growth. So it's not our job to call the gold price. It's our job to sort of safely mine as much gold sustainably as we can and increase production, which we've been doing. And at $1,700 or $1,800 all-in sustaining, we're very competitive. And even if the gold price was to go down, we'd still have excellent margins.
Yeah, 100%. And to be clear, the hedge that you closed last year wasn't locking in gold price. It was around borrowings and the like. So 100% take your point. Shareholders want that exposure. You mentioned the balance sheet. I mean, debt was down to $46 billion. As you say, it'll now be gone. You've declared a maiden interim dividend. There is very, very strong cash generation at these levels. And I mean, even at the 3,800 level, never mind the 5,000, there is massive cash generation and opportunity here. You're doing some feasibility studies. You're looking to expand some operations, perhaps Australia, Soweto cluster as well.
Simon, we've given a very clear growth path for Australia. We could not have bought this asset at a better time, even if we'd had a crystal ball. And we're going to do about 50-odd thousand ounces, say 40, 60, 50,000 ounces we expect for this full year. But then we've mapped out growth to 100,000 ounces over the next 3 years. And that excludes any additional production from our Warrego copper gold project. Mm. Obviously, copper is also flavor of the day, but our focus is very much gold. So yes, that's one very exciting growth opportunity or initiative rather. And then we've, as you say, mapped out a couple of others. We're going to start slowly developing the Royal Sheba ore body at Barberton. It's low grade for Barberton. Anywhere else in the world, it would be very attractive, mechanized, quite big, 700,000 ounces sitting there. So we've started developing Royal Sheba. And then also looking at the Soweto cluster, which is part of MTR. MTR sort of has been one of the most successful projects in South African mining over the last years. So that's quite exciting. And then looking at longer dated projects such as a Poplar at Evander, it's 6 million ounces at 7 grams a ton. It's a staggering deposit.
That is huge. You mentioned copper there. I mean, you're getting a fair bit of copper out of the Australian operations, but it really is. I mean, to be clear, copper price is doing great as well. But for you, it's like a side hustle. I mean, it's not a focus by any stretch. It's a byproduct from mining the gold.
No, at this point, Pan-African's a pure gold play. Yeah. And that's the way in which we intend to keep it, other than sort of growing the likes of Warrego. But even that project by itself has standalone attractive gold grades.
Yeah. You mentioned Evander there. I mean, there's been strong production, as you say, across all the various different divisions. Evander, most notable turnaround, that really is working nicely.
It is starting to come together. It's a really a quality ore body. I mean, the B-line, we're mining on 24 level. If you see the Kimberley Reef, it's really impressive. So it's not the easiest of assets. We've invested a lot of time and capital, but it's a long-life asset. It's the Evander Basin is probably out of all of its basins, the least exploited, and it still presents a lot of opportunity.
And much of this expansion, you've touched on the fact that your balance sheet is going to be completely ungeared. This expansion is happening from cash flow. So it's not, in other words, sort of risking the business. You do expansion, if gold was to completely collapse, you could put it on care and maintenance, and it wouldn't sort of threaten the operations more broadly.
Well, I mean, I hope I never live to regret this statement, but be very surprised if we ever saw gold collapsing to you know, anywhere close to our all-in sustaining costs. And because we've been spending such a lot of capital, investing so heavily in the business, we can also sustain a bit of a downturn if we had to. If you look at our low-cost production, the likes of Elikhulu, MTR, and Australia longer term, we're sitting at $1,400 all-in sustaining. That's world-class.
Yeah, and to be clear, gold is currently 1,200 above what you received for the period. So the full year numbers are going to be staggering. And as we go forward, we'll leave it there. Kobus Loots, CEO of Pan African Resources, appreciate the time.
That's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Hedging. I put the question to Kobus. He was like, nope, not going to hedge. But what do you think? I mean, do you want that exposure to the gold price? Should we take some risk off the table? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Stanlib Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Dr. Andrew Golding. He's chief executive of the Pam Golding Property Group. Andrew, appreciate the time. Fair to say, we're seeing a gradual recovery in household finances, particularly the middle income group, which is the large populace of the country. That said, pressure on finances, both household and government level, it remains real. I've been saying it for a while now. It's better being a South African consumer, but it's still tough out there.
Yeah, there's no question. It's been a tough time generally for the South African consumer. I think things are slowly but surely starting to improve. I think the outlook for the next 12 months sees a continuation of that improvement. And so there is certainly some cautious optimism and definitely some optimism from the perspective of the housing market.
Absolutely. I mean, there are green shoots out there. We've got a new inflation target and it looks like we're going to manage to stick to that. We've got the rates coming down, hopefully some more this year. If we look at the budget next week, I suspect the biggie in our world is going to be around bracket creep. We're not going to get fireworks, but last year we didn't get any sort of touching on the inflation adjustment. This year we hope to, and that'll help as well.
Yeah, that certainly is hopeful that there won't be that creep and that that will then allow some relief in terms of disposable income and that that will play itself out from every perspective in terms of the consumer's view of the next 12 months. I think also from a municipal infrastructure perspective, there's no question we're seeing that play itself out in the housing market where consumers are making decisions based on how the municipalities are performing. And so I think that's going to play a big role from a budgetary perspective if there's going to be significant allocation there.
That's a great point. I mean, if I think around property valuations in South Africa, I'm here in Joburg at the moment. Fortunately, I haven't been having the challenges with water. Many, many people have. It's almost a sense of property valuations broadly for the country are going to be around things such as inflation, interest rates, etc. But when we start diving down, it is going to be about local governance, service delivery. Those are going to be the big issues in terms of potential.
Very much so. And we're seeing transactional activity translate there. So, you know, municipal finance, municipal infrastructure are definitely shaping property values on an ongoing and sort of daily basis. And so service delivery and quality of local governance is going to be key.
And that then brings us, if we go back to the budget for a moment, I mean, it's largely indirect to the property market, probably. But good budgets help with confidence, both for international investors, but again, for South Africans as well.
Very much so. Sentiment is without doubt the biggest driver of the housing market and linked to interest rates and hopefully a sense of what's happening with there in terms of some rate cuts. But if sentiment and consumer confidence improves, then that definitely has a positive effect on the property market.
And I imagine sentiment is something which evolves sort of slowly, particularly with property, which is for most people going to be their single biggest transaction that they do in their lifetime. It's not a sort of like a light switch. It's a slow realization and a slow sense of improvement.
Yeah, our sense of it is that it can turn downwards very quickly, but generally takes longer to improve. And so we often see there's a lag from, for example, an interest rate decrease until we see that in the market. But the moment that there is an interest rate increase, it affects sentiment almost immediately. So it's a very sensitive indicator.
Yeah, I take your point in that. It's slow on the way up, maybe faster on the way down. Any sense around property transfer duty being adjusted? If memory serves, I think it's sitting at just over 1.2 million. Is that a space you think maybe the minister has wiggle room or is 1.2? I mean, higher is always better for buyers. Change there?
Yeah, it was adjusted in April last year. Yeah. So our hope is that it won't be changed again. It's sitting at 1.2. But we'll have to wait and see in terms of what's decided there.
We'll leave it there. That's Dr. Andrew Golding. He's Chief Executive, Pam Golding Property Group. Appreciate the time.
That's it for today. Yesterday we were chatting with Chantal Marks, F&B Wealth and Investments, talking around a very detailed AfriMat update that saw the stock off almost 8%. We asked you if it was bad as expected. Around 40% said it was worse. Another 40% said about the same. The rest said you were actually thought better than expected. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Norbochle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Agri and China.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.